on your life. It's not a what if, it's already in there. It's been built in. And so for us then, the question is, what's the calling that God's put in my life? And then how do I step into that? And a couple of big important things that we talked about is that your calling is not automatic. And so you have to live in the right kind of ways. God knows that you can't be perfect, but we've got to head in the right kind of direction. I think that's what God's really calling us for. It's saying, hey, you can go this direction, which is almost against God, or you can go this direction, which is heading towards God. And if we do that, God's faithful to work that calling out in our lives. And the one thing that we said about calling, or if we've forgotten it, is that it's always much bigger than we think. We start off with a small idea of, God, I'd love to do this, or I'd love to do that, and then God just makes it bigger and bigger and bigger. He grows that as we submit to him. But the second really important thing that we talked about last week about calling is that you've got to count the cost. Is that there is a cost to everything that we do. There's a cost to following Jesus, just like Jesus paid the ultimate cost on the cross. There is a cost to following him. And for us this morning, there's a cost in everything that we do. So if we follow after God, there's a cost. If we don't follow after God, there's a cost as well. Here's the difference of the cost of following Christ. It's always worth it. It's always worth it. And that's so important. So you want to follow after your calling. There will be a cost. There will be tough times. It is important how we live, but God's going to help us all the way along that and all the way through that. And so this morning, here's what I felt the Holy Spirit wanted to remind us of, is that there are so many things out there that want to challenge us. There are so many things out in life that want to rob from us the calling of God on our lives. And I felt like this one statement that God just wanted to drop in our hearts this morning as we're thinking about there's a calling on your life, is that keep living for adventure. Keep living for adventure. Keep knowing that God has big plans for your life, that God has adventure ahead of you. You see, there's so many things in our lives that just want to say, hey, you know what? If you could just keep your head above water, you'd be doing okay. If you could just keep going at these times, you could be doing okay. And that's true, and there are seasons for that, and we're going to look at that in just a moment. But over the span of our life, God says you are made for adventure, and you're made for exciting adventures, and you're made for big things, and you're made for my calling, and you're made for destiny. And the enemy wants to come, and he wants to cause us to live low and to think to ourselves, oh, there's no adventure in my life. My life's just boring. Being a Christian's boring. All of those things. And God says this morning, I have so much planned for you. I have so many things to show you. And maybe he just wants to bring us close this morning and remind us. There are challenges. Of course, we're going to face challenges. There are trials. Of course, we're going to face trials. But inside of all of those things, there's an incredible adventure that God is bringing us on. And it's absolutely amazing. It is absolutely amazing. And so for a few moments this morning, that's what I'd like us to think about. Here's what our world screams all the time. Stay safe. Don't do anything different. Just stay safe. Stay normal. Don't do anything unsafe. Just stay with everybody else. Stay with the crowd. Stay and look like everybody else. Smell like everybody else. It's going to be okay. You'll get through this. And God says, no, you were made for so much more. We said last night, our call is to stand out. Our call is to be different. Not to put anybody off. Our goal is not to try to annoy people, although sometimes the way that we live might annoy some people. Because I remember working in a particular job for a few years, and people just got annoyed by me because they're like, you're believing for too many things. You're just coming in happy on a Monday. You're not coming in depressed. And I was like, no, I'm not coming in depressed. I'm coming in full of the joy of the Lord. Now, they couldn't get that. Had to change that language because that's just too much for a lot of people to understand. They'd probably want to hit you after that. But I just said, no, I'm living for so much more. I'm not dependent on how the weekend goes for me. I'm dependent on what Jesus has already done for me. And that's the thing that's transformed my life. And I know that there's going to be trials. And I know there's going to be ups and downs. But I count it all joy when I go through those trials and temptations and all those things because I know that God is encouraging me and he's building me up. And you see, there's a culture in the world that says you got to live this way. And then there's a culture of the kingdom that says you can live a different way. You can live a totally different way. And so even in the midst of your trials, you're still on an adventure. Who remembers Paul? Whenever he would go into these cities, he would get beat up to an inch of his life. He'd get put outside of the city. And then what would he do? He said, I want to go back in again. Because he was living for adventure. He wasn't content with the way he was living. He says, I'm not going to settle. I'm not going to slow my life down. I'm not going to be put off by what the enemy's trying to do to me. In fact, I'm going to go harder the other way. And so we go back into the city. He says, I'm here to save you. Maybe in that moment, some guys would look at him and go, this guy is crazy. We should definitely get what he's got. We need that. What is it you've got? And then he'd tell him about his faith. Tell him about Jesus. And here's the truth this morning. God has big dreams for your life. And they involve adventure. They involve taking risks. And I know maybe we don't like the idea of risk, but really that's what it looks like to us. It's called faith to Jesus. He says, walk on water. To us, that's a risk. To him, it's just faith. And so we get confused sometimes between the two words. It doesn't really matter what you think of as long as you place your faith in Jesus. We're not taking a risk in ourselves. We're taking a risk on Jesus. We're stepping out in faith. That's a better way to put it. We're taking a risk. It feels like a risk to us, but we're stepping out in faith. And this morning, God says, I have dreams for your life, and it's time to plug into them. Because not only does it affect you, but it'll affect the people around you. God has not saved us to make us boring. That's what too many people think of us. They think, you Christians, you're so boring. You won't do anything. We run marathons. We do lots of things. We climb mountains. We do crazy stuff. That's just the tip of the iceberg. We do all sorts of things. But we live incredible lives. You know what the problem is? Sometimes we don't share the goodness of what's going on in our lives because we think, oh, nobody else out there wants to know. And so as a result, they just make these misconceptions. They just think, oh, you're one of those boring, good-living people. That's all you do, and that sounds like bad news to me. And God says, no, living for me is exciting, and you know that. We've just got to get that out to everybody else. We've got to live in such a way that allows other people to say, wow, you guys, you are living incredible lives. How can I be a part of the journey? Remember Jesus? You remember that guy Jesus? He was irresistible. People just couldn't get enough of him. They could not get enough of him. Whether you loved him or you hated him, you just wanted to be around him. Because you either wanted to get at him or you wanted to follow after him. He was just irresistible. People just wanted to be around him. And I think for us this morning, we've got to realize that we are not just a mess that has been saved by grace, which is true, but God has turned us into incredible sons and daughters of a living God. And he wants us to live that out in our lives so it affects other people, and people turn around to us and go, wow, whatever way you're living, I want some of that too. I don't want just a quick fix. I don't want just a prayer, because people will come to us and say, would you pray for me? They don't really want what we have, but they're down on the kind of their last legs, and they say, well, could you pray for me at least? And God says, there's so much more than that in your life. They need to know that the life that you're living is the best life possible. And the enemy has blinded them. And so as we live out the adventures and the calls and the destiny on our lives, it blows people's cobwebs away. It blows the scales off their eyes. It blows Satan away from their lives. And they go, wow, your God really must be the true and living God. Your God really must be who he says he is. Your God really does do resurrection life, because I'm a testimony of that. And so if we're sitting here this morning and feeling a bit settled and feeling maybe just a bit like, kind of, I'm happy where I'm at, then I feel like the Lord just wants to stir us this morning. He just wants to stir us this morning and remind us there's big things for you to do. I want to read a story this morning from Genesis 37, the story of Joseph. Again, we won't have time to go through all of this, but we're going to capture some of it. Here's what it says, Genesis 37, verse 5, Joseph had a dream. So Joseph, if you remember Joseph and you know all about him, if you don't, then he was one of the brothers way back in the day. Thousands of years ago, he was one of these guys. He was a younger brother, and his dad loved him so much, he gave him a coat of many colors. He said, you're my favorite son. And so now Joseph's going to have a dream, and he's going to share the dream, and his brothers aren't going to be too happy. Here's what it says. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. So they didn't like him to begin with, and now they hate him even more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. That sounds like really good. He's a younger brother, remember. His older brothers didn't like this. His brothers said to them, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? They hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is that dream that you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. And so here's Joseph. He has this God dream. And here's the thing about a God dream is that it's always bigger than you could ever think and bigger than you could ever imagine. And it probably doesn't even make that much sense to you in the fact that you know you could never do it in your own strength. So it's got to be a God dream. So it's definitely got to fit within Scripture. It's got to fit probably within your life. The chances are there's something going on in your mind when you hear it. But it's going to be so much bigger than you than you say to yourself, wow, I could never achieve this in my own strength. But God loves us. He loves to set things way in front of us and say, hey, this is what you could be. This is what you could do. You're not stuck just here, just trying to get through somehow through life to get to heaven for it to be amazing forever. He says, I'm giving you a full life right now. And so he puts these things in front of us and he says, hey, that's what you could aim for. That's what you could dream of. And then in our minds, we go, oh, I could never do that. And he goes, that's fine, because you can do all things through Christ. You can do all things through me. And then he says, come on, we're going to do this thing together. And so God gives Joseph this incredible dream. And Joseph learns a few important lessons. Not a lot of people are going to like your dream, because sometimes it's so big, because it's so God, people are jealous of you. They don't like what you're saying. They're just not happy with it. I mean, here's the truth of our church. When we started the first year, God knows what he's doing. The first year, we bought a building, and we had a building, but we had no people. And so for the next year, we worked on the building to get it ready for people to come. It was back to front. Everybody we've told that story to, especially leaders and pastors and ministers, they say, you guys are crazy. That's just not the way you do it at all. You get people first, and then you get a building. We had a building bought and paid for. We had just hadn't got church at that point. We hadn't got people. And then God brought them. But here's the wisdom of God. For that first year while we're working on the building, everybody in Armagh said we were a cult. Everybody said, those guys, you don't want to go near them. Churches in Armagh have been going for thousands of years. Don't trust them, guys. They haven't a clue what they're doing. After that year, most of that news died. And when we got here the first few weeks, nobody even cared. They were like, them crazy cult boys, they're just doing whatever they want anyway. They're not going to listen to us. And so they left us alone. So God knows what he's doing, but he gives you a dream so big and so crazy, people just don't want to get it because it doesn't seem to make sense to them. And of course it doesn't make sense because it makes God sense, not earthly sense. And then God comes with us. And then God moves with us. And it's exactly the same with Joseph, and it's exactly the same with you in your life. God has dreams in your life. Maybe he's already showed them to you, and you just think, it makes no sense, God. Because of who I am, because of what I've done, because of this, because of that. And we make up all sorts of excuses. But Joseph learned an important lesson. Lesson number two. Lesson number one was sometimes your brothers aren't going to like you. Sometimes your brothers and sisters aren't going to like what you're saying. But if it's a God dream, you stick to it anyway. Number two, Joseph realized dreams have to get out. Dreams have to get out into the real world. Otherwise, they just stay airy-fairy dreams in the sky. They never get anywhere. And there's times when we have to pull those dreams down and we have to push them out. Now, I'm telling you this. When we talked about this time last year, how we were going to buy a building for £175,000, I seen a few faces that were looking at me a bit skeptical. Like, you're crazy. We need to send you to some place to get full recovery. But you know what? We did it because God was in it. We did it because God was in it. And over the space of 3 months, £175,000, we raised the whole thing. Unbelievable. And now we have a building next door. And you know what the scary thing about it is? It's going to take a lot of money to do it up. Let's just say it might take a million or more. And God says, wow. And we're like, oh no. And God says, I've got this. Keep dreaming big. Keep dreaming big because I've got big things in store for you. If it was tiny, you wouldn't even need me. If it was tiny, you wouldn't need anybody else. But God says this morning, I'm putting dreams in your heart, and maybe he already has, and maybe we've let them die, or maybe we've pushed them under because we all have sorts of unworthiness and low value and low self-esteem and all those things. But God says this morning, I'm looking to raise them up because I have big things in store for you. So Joseph realized, I've got to tell my dream, but it's going to be risky. When I share it, it's going to be risky. Our dreams can seem mad, they can seem crazy, they can seem strange, even to us. We can be afraid. I was afraid of most of my dreams, and God said, don't worry, I'm with you. I'm the great comforter. I'll bring you through. He brought me through regardless. He wants to do the same for you this morning. So what are the dreams that God wants to stir up in your heart? I want us to look at a few things from the life of Joseph. And one of the biggest things I want us to think about is this. I want us to think even from the outset, what are your dreams? Maybe it's to start your own business. Maybe it's to write a book. Maybe it's to build something. Maybe it's to learn something. Maybe it's to play an instrument. Whatever it is, what are the things that God's calling you to do? Have no limits on the things that God's calling you to do because your dreams will bring breakthrough in people's lives. You think that music is no breakthrough? David used to come before Saul and he used to play all the time. He used to calm his spirit because music brings breakthrough. Everything we do brings breakthrough if it's done for the Lord. But here's the main thing, the first thing we're going to think about as we think about our dreams, is that the biggest danger to our dreams is for us to think, I should just settle. I should just settle, I should just play it safe, and I should just get on with life and just somehow get through. And that's the thing that God wants to challenge our hearts with this morning. Do not settle in your current predicament or your current situation. There are seasons, there are moments, there are times, but don't settle there. And when I say don't settle, I mean don't give up. Maybe God has put something in your heart, or maybe God is challenging you for something greater, or maybe God has put a business idea in your mind, or something to go to a far off field, or this or that, whatever it is, you already know. And God said this morning, don't give up, because when we give up, we settle, and then we let everything go. And that's exactly what the enemy wants to do. Here's what it says in Joseph's life. I want to read it this morning. It says this in verse 31. This is the first place that Joseph could have settled. Chapter 37, verse 23. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe. Remember, his robe was this significant thing, robe of many colors. The robe of many colors that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And so Joseph knows that God's going to do big things in his life. He's not quite sure what that is, but he's heard God speak, I've got a big dream for you. I've got a big dream for you. I've got a big dream for you. And maybe we've heard that. God's got a big dream for you. God's got a big dream for you. And maybe you've even heard that as you pray and as you read, God's maybe got a dream for me. God's maybe got plans for me. And then it feels like the first day of the dream, it becomes a nightmare. And Joseph, his very own brothers, they beat him up, they attack him, they strip him, and they throw him in a pit, and they abandon him. There's not even water there. And we all know that you need water to survive. You can do without a bit of food, but you can't do without any water. You need water to survive. And they leave him. They abandon him. In fact, they wanted to kill him, but one of the brothers turned around and says, no, just leave him in a pit. Let the pit do the work. We don't want to get in trouble for that. And they head back. And they head back out of there, and they totally leave him. And there are many times in our lives where we feel like we've been around the right kind of people, maybe even our brothers and sisters, and we feel we've got a dream, and we've shared it with them, and for whatever reason, they didn't like it, and now we feel like we've just been abandoned and thrown in the pit. But even in the midst of that, Joseph still found favor with God, and God still had a blessing and a call in his life. And right from the outset, I want to tell you, there are many different times in life where you're going to feel, well, maybe this is the place where I should just give up. Maybe this is a place where I should just get used to. Maybe I should just get used to the pit. This is a place where maybe this is where it's supposed to be for me. Maybe my dreams were all wrong. This is where my life's supposed to end. Joseph could have thought all of those things, but he kept his fix on Jesus. He kept his fix on God, sorry. Jesus didn't exist at that point, technically, but he was still there. And so he kept his fix on God. And he says, no, but God's still got more for me. I remember the dream that God's got for me. And he kept on believing in the dream. See, sometimes you got to keep on believing in the dream instead of believing in the reality that you're in. And reality's important, and I'm a realist. You got to count the cost. You got to look at what's going on. You got to see what's going on. But there's other times you got to separate from that because it wants to pull you down. And you've got to look to God, and you've got to say, God, you've still put a dream on me. You've still got a call on me. You've still got a plan here. Joseph could have settled in the pit, but thankfully he didn't because God had so much more. Where are the places that the enemy's looking for you to settle in? Where are the places that even this morning God said, well, you should just settle for that. You're going to be sick for the rest of your life. You're going to be alone for the rest of your life. That thing's never going to happen. That dream you had of a business, that's never going to happen. You mess it up once, you'll never do it again. You're just going to have to sit in this pit forever, and there's not even water for you. You don't even deserve water. You feel like you don't even deserve it. I don't even deserve any better than this. But God says, I've got more, and I'm not finished yet. And maybe that's the word that God just wants to put in your heart. I'm not finished yet. There's still more time. I'm not finished yet. Allow me to move. And God starts to move. And so he finds himself there. But this is what it says in verse 28. Then the Midianite traders passed by and drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Israel. Wow. Does it get better or does it get worse? Sometimes we're not even quite sure. Sometimes in our lives, it feels like it has to get 100 times worse before it gets better. Sometimes that's what happens. We have to be real. Again, we got to be realists in the midst of how we're believing for all things. We got to be real. We got to see what's going on. There's times when we see it for what it is, and there's times we see through it. But in all things, we see it through the eyes of Christ. We got to see it through our eyes of faith and say, God, what are you showing me here? What's happening here? And Joseph, it feels like he goes from one predicament to a worse predicament. And now he's went, at least he was alone in a pit. At least he could have died alone. At least it could have been a peaceful death or whatever it was going to be. Maybe that's what he was thinking for a moment. And now I'm just going to be a slave. I can't even die alone. I can't even have peace from this life. I'm now going to be a slave for the rest of my life. Is that what God has planned for me? And yet I believe in the midst of all of that, Joseph kept reminding himself, but I got two dreams. I got two dreams. I got two dreams. God spoke to me. I know what I heard. I know what he did. Maybe he wrote it down. Maybe he told somebody to keep reminding them of it. I don't know what you need to do this morning, but I would encourage you this. You've got to write your dreams down. You've got to speak them out. Otherwise, they'll fritter away. They'll disappear. One of the biggest, scariest things to do is to tell your dreams. One of the biggest things. I remember we started to Vibe 2006. We had to go and we had to tell our dreams out. It was scary to do that. Whenever we wanted to go and plant the church, we had to go and tell some people. We had to tell our dreams. It was scary to do that. Whenever we wanted to raise $175,000 to buy next door, we had to tell some people. It was scary. I remember, who remembers the movie Dunkirk last year? Do you remember the Dunkirk movie? Terrible movie. I went to see it. No, it wasn't a terrible movie, but it was for me. Went to the movie, and then at that moment, somebody sends me a message and goes, hey, we've just made RMII. And I'm like, oh no, what are they going to say? What are they going to say? It was actually a brilliant article. But there are moments in our dreams where it feels like, wow, why do we do this? Why do we even start this? Why do we even speak this thing out? And for Joseph, he had to speak it out to make it become reality. He had to speak it out, not only for everybody else, but for himself, to go, I believe this thing. This is what God has called me. And maybe in the midst of the pit, and maybe in the midst of your pit this morning, and then Joseph becomes a slave, in the midst of those moments, you've got to keep reminding yourself of the dream that God has put in your heart, because you were made for adventure. You were made for adventure, and God has adventures on our lives. They're not always nice in the midst of them, but there's always something powerful that's taken place. Hold on to God in the midst of that. And so Joseph is on the move again. Then place number two where he could have settled, it's actually a good place. This is what it says in Genesis 39:2. He gets into a general's home. It says the Lord was with Joseph. Notice that. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. And he was in the house of an Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him and made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. This is incredible. Incredible. Joseph, remember, now he's went from two terrible positions, and now suddenly he's in the master's house. And the master can see that God is with them. Think about this night, this morning. Because there's people can see things in us. Even when we're not going through good seasons. Joseph was not going through a good period of his life. He was not going through a good season. He was not where he should be, but he was on a journey to where he needed to be. And God was taking him there. But all along the way, people could still see there's something on his life. There's a favor in his life. There's a blessing on his life. And we need to know this morning that even in those tough seasons, even those difficult days, those dark days, those days of no hope, there's still something inside of us that's different than everybody else. It's the light of Jesus. I was coming home the other night. And I was coming home, pitch black, living in the country, pitch black, dark. I was coming home, lights weren't even on at home, and I'm just coming out of the car, and I turned the car light off as well, because Bethany was in the car the other night, and I didn't want her to wake up, and so it was totally pitch black when I turned off the car. And then just at that moment, another car comes down the road, and if you live in the country like me, then you'll know what happens. This light just bursts through everything. The darkness is so real, but this light just bursts through everything, and it just, anything it can find, it's just bursting through it, reflecting off our windows, reflecting off my mirror, reflecting off everything. And in that moment, I thought, myself, that's exactly who we are. Even on our worst days, we burst through the darkness because we have the light of Christ inside of us. Even in our worst days, even in the midst of the pit, you are busting the darkness in the midst of that pit, because darkness cannot comprehend the light. And we've got to know this morning that in the midst of our adventures, in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our persecution, there is light that is radiating from us that blows all darkness away. Because that's Jesus in my life. And that's Jesus in your life. And so Joseph finds himself in a good spot. You see, sometimes the enemy's not going to try to take you out always in the bad times. He's going to try and take you out in the good times as well. He's going to try every move that he can, because his goal is this, to kill, steal, and destroy. So if he can take you out, if he can't take you in the bad, then he'll definitely get you in the good. And see what the enemy's trying to do in Joseph's life. Two desperate situations, now he's bringing him into a good one. I'm going to bring you into Potiphar's house. I'm going to bring you into the captain's house. I'm going to see how you get on here. And so he brings him in. And all is rosy and all is good. And he starts to get elevation. And this is the point where most of us get tripped up. And this is the point where most of us get caught out. Because we think to ourselves, well, God's got a big dream for my life. And God's told me people are going to bow to me. He's maybe an overseer of this house. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is it. You know, I have to get real. I have to get real, because God has put a big dream in my heart, and I felt it was bigger, but this probably is it. Because for me, in a foreign land, remember, Joseph is not an Egyptian. He's an Israelite, and he's in an Egyptian's house, and an Egyptian has put him overseer of the house. This is pretty significant. This is pretty amazing for Joseph's life. And at that moment, it would have been so easy for Joseph to go, this must be what God has told me. This must be the dream that God has put in my heart. But something inside of Joseph said, no, I'm made for more. And then a series of events starts to happen where it allows Joseph to really get a hold of himself, and he gets out of there quick. This is what it says a couple of verses down. Potiphar's wife started to take a notion on Joseph. And she says, I kind of like this guy. He's good looking. There's something about him. God's in him. I want him. Verse 10 says this, and though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. This is incredible. You see, the enemy attacked Joseph on the outside, and now he's trying to get him on the inside with his emotions and his feelings. He tried to get him on the exterior in the pit. Will you give up on God when you're in the pit? Will you give up with God when you're chained up and when you feel you're in chains and you feel like you're a slave to people you should never be a slave on? Will you give up on that? And Joseph says, no, I'm not giving up on that. And now he gets himself in a good place, and now the enemy comes in a different move. Just, it's kind of going for his heart, going for his emotions, going for his feelings, and he doesn't know what to do. He's thinking, what should I do? What should I do? Thankfully, Joseph says, I'm getting out of here. And he runs for dear life, and he gets away from there. And for us in our lives, there are times when we can find ourselves in good places for a moment, good places for a season, but they're not a place I should stay. I need to get out of here, and I need to get away. And that's what Joseph did, because he said, I know the dream is bigger. I know there's more to the dream. And that's what God's saying to us. There's more to the dream. But as a result, this is what happens from the dream. And for the sake of time, I'll remind you of the story. What happens in the midst of the dream is this, is that Joseph gets caught and Potiphar's wife blames him. And before you know it, he's got to go to prison. And now Joseph in that moment is thinking to himself, should I just have done what I needed to do? Because I could have stayed in a good house. I could have stayed in a good home. But Joseph goes from a good place to a very bad place. And now he's stuck in the prison. And you would think at this point in his life, maybe this is the time to give up. Maybe this is the time to settle. Maybe I just have to get real. Maybe I have to just put that dreams behind me. Maybe I just have to try to fight for my life. But Joseph continues to be blessed. He continues to move because God's hand is on his life. And I want to assure you this morning, no matter where you find yourself, no matter what predicament you're in, God's hand is still on your life even when you don't feel it. Because if you've surrendered your life to him, if you've given your heart to him, then he still has significance on your life. He's too good. He's too faithful. He's too full of love. He does not change. He does not give and take away in those moments. There's other things that he does, but not in those moments. He's still got good things planned for your life. Do not lose hope given the circumstances that you're in. Jesus is still for you. God is still with you. Do not give up heart. Do not give up hope. God is with you this morning. And in the midst of the prison, God starts to move again. Verse 20, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. Verse 22, So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those he held in the prison. It's incredible. Time after time after time, Joseph just cannot be held down. God is far greater. And I want you to allow God to do that in your life. Because there's times where we get into difficult seasons and we get into difficult places and we say, well, that's it. I'm just going to keep my nose clean. I'm just going to settle here. I'm just going to do what I have to do. I'm just going to get through this thing. This is not the job I want. This is not the place I want to be in. But I want to encourage you, stop for a moment and allow the Lord to use you, because he's got plans for your life in every situation. He turns the bad into good, and we've got to believe that. So even if you're in a job you don't care about, know that God's got something for you to do there. He never wastes a moment. He never wastes a single second. He always has something for you in those moments, in those difficult seasons, in those difficult trials. What is it, God, you're trying to show me? What about asking a question like that in the middle of that? Instead of, God, why am I here? When are you going to bring me out of this? And you can ask those questions. You can do that. Sometimes we need that for our own heart and for our own soul. But in between all that, then go, God, what have you got planned for me in the midst of this mess? God, surely you've got something that you're going to do in here. Surely you're going to use me for something. God, show me what it is. And in that moment, Joseph starts to rise again. The warden puts him in charge of the whole prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care. Why? Because he trusted him. Why? Because he could see the Lord's hand in his life, because the Lord was with Joseph and give him success in whatever he did. Whatever you do, the Lord's going to give you success. Just keep your eyes fixed on him. Wherever you find yourself, the Lord's going to give you success. Doesn't matter if you're in a pit, you're going to start to run that pit. Doesn't matter if you're in a prison, you're going to run that prison. Doesn't matter if you're in Potiphar's house, you're going to have the favor. But if trials come, God's going to get you out of there, because you're too precious for him. You are too precious to him. He will make a way of escape, and he will help you out of that. And then in Genesis 41:14, it says this, Joseph gets to the palace. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. And again, to remind you of the story, is that Pharaoh started to have some dreams. And they hear that Joseph's one of these guys that can maybe interpret dreams. And so Joseph comes from the prison, and he comes before Pharaoh, and now he's in the palace. And Joseph, for a moment, can start to think, wow, this is the place maybe that God always wanted me to get to. Remember the sheaves, and they're all going to bow down to me? Remember that everybody's going to bow down to me? Surely this is the place for me, God. Surely this is the place. And Pharaoh turns around to him and he says, Joseph, is this you that can do this thing? And in that moment, maybe Joseph faced his biggest trial yet. Maybe Joseph faced his biggest battle. Because now Joseph is in a good place. He's in the place, and I'm sure he knows in the back of his mind, surely this is the place. Because you know when you're in the right places with God and you get to the right place, you're like, God, this is it. And he gets there, and suddenly a question comes to it, and it's posed like this. And Pharaoh says, the most powerful man in Egypt, Joseph, it's you that can do this, isn't it? And Joseph could have quite easily said yes, but something in the back of his mind said, no, I can't do this. It's God working through me that does this. He still brings honor to God. He still says to the world, this is who I am. I'm just like you. I'm an ordinary person. But what God's done through me is what makes me extraordinary. It's what God is working through me that allows me to do supernatural things. It's the power of God through my life. I can't read one single dream. I don't even know what my own dreams mean. But when God helps me, I start to be able to interpret things. I start to be able to understand things. And Joseph was in this crazy scenario of like, I'm right where I want to be. I can taste it. I can touch it. Maybe I'll just grab it for myself. And he refused to do it. And I think in that, there's an important lesson, maybe for all of us, or at least for some of us this morning. We say, okay, maybe God will bring me to places, but I never want to grab it. I want to allow the Lord to bring me there rightfully. I want to always give God the glory for where I'm at, because I know if it weren't for him, where would I be? If it weren't for him, where would I be? If it weren't for his grace, I'd be dead in that pit. If it weren't for his goodness, I'd have been caught out in that house and I'd still be in a wrong relationship with a married woman. If it weren't for God, I'd still be in a prison. If it weren't for God, I wouldn't even be in this place. And I want us to think that this morning in our difficult seasons, even our good days or bad days and our in-between days. If it weren't for God, I wouldn't even be here. If it weren't for God, I wouldn't have anything that I have. But because of God, I'm still alive. Because of God, I've got dreams. Because of God, I've got hope. Because of God, I've got adventure on my life. And this is the word of the Lord for us this morning. And so Joseph had a decision to make. Will I settle? And he said, no, I will not settle. And then finally, he gets to the place that God always intended for him. Verse 40, it says this, you shall be in charge of all my palace. Joseph has now declared to Pharaoh who he is. Pharaoh knows exactly what he's about. Pharaoh has heard from God. Pharaoh has heard the word of God through Joseph. And now he speaks it out to him. And he says, you shall be in charge of all my palace. And all my people are just submit to you and your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. In other words, Pharaoh was saying, you've got pretty much more significance to me because you're in control of everything. The only thing you can't have is the throne. But ultimately, every power, every action, every decision is yours, Joseph. Go for it. That is incredible. Now think about this. The Egyptians were not God's people. The Egyptians are the opposite. They are opposed to God. They're not interested in God. They have their own gods. They worship themselves. They worship the Pharaoh. Pharaoh was regarded as a god. He was regarded as that. And so he's a complete enemy to God. And now God's turned his heart and he said, I'm going to raise Joseph up right to above everybody else and he's going to control the whole kingdom. That is incredible. Where did Joseph come from? Joseph was just a favored son from a big family. That's all he was, a favored son from a big family. He could have been unnoticed. In fact, he should be dead. If his brothers had their way, he would have been. And now he's in charge of all of Egypt. Incredible. Joseph went through probably more trials than we'll ever face. He went through more battles probably than we'll ever face. Now, we'll face our own ones. It's not to diminish them. But the story is to prove this. It doesn't matter what you've been through. If you keep sticking close to God, he's bringing you through to the destination he's always had for you. He's got great plans on your life. He has set you up for adventure. He has put dreams in your heart. Do not allow anything to rob them of, to take them away from you. Allow them to come back into your life. Allow them to come back into your heart. And if the Lord is convicting you this morning, then allow him to set you free. If he's not, then allow him to push you forward. If you haven't got the dreams, allow him to put those dreams on your heart. If you're not sure what the dreams are, ask him. If you're in the midst of the battle and you're looking forward to the dream, keep going because God is with you. God is doing great things in your life. Don't settle. There are so many opportunities in life that will want us to settle, but do not settle. I want to finish off with a couple more quick things and then we're done. Here's the thing that I noticed. There's a difference between settling and a setback. And this is the big difference in Joseph's life. He had many different, what looked like, says, I'll settle, I'll settle, I'll settle. They weren't, they were setbacks. And in our lives, we've got to see the difference between settling and having a setback. In our lives, there will be setbacks that will try to hold us back, but through God, he will refine us, he will perfect us, and it will actually increase the dream in our lives. It'll actually make us better for when we get to the dream. See, the thing about Joseph is, he could never have been the great leader he became if he didn't go through all the battles along the way. If you remember the story, his brothers come before him because he sees the dream. 7 years of plenty, then 7 years of famine. And Joseph, this is what he tells the kingdom, and this is what happens in Egypt. It's proven. Science proves it. And this is what happens. And so before long, his brothers had to come from a far-off land, and they had to come to Joseph. And what do you know? They had to bow before him. They had to bow before him. They didn't recognize him. They had to bow before him. And then Joseph notices them. He says, I know who you are. I know what I should do with you. I know what you deserve. I know what you should get. It should be death. It should be hung and quartered. It should be wiped out. But I refuse to do that. You're my brothers. You're my family. Rise up. I'm going to bless you. I am going to bless you. I'm going to set you free. Because the battles and the trials that Joseph went through didn't break him. They made him. They didn't put him under. They helped him to rise up. Every single trial that he went through furthered the dream, enhanced the dream. And all the trials that he went through, he needed to go through. Because when he got overseer of Egypt, he had to have a fair heart. He had to have the right spirit. He had to know God through and through. He didn't need to have bitterness. He didn't need to have envy. He didn't need to have jealousy. That were all the things that he should have had, but they were all the things that God removed from him. Because I'll tell you one thing, and you'll note yourself in your own life, when you go through the trials, it takes all of that out. When you go through the battles, it takes all of that out because you realize, wow, I'm not as good as I think. I'm not as perfect as I hoped. I haven't got it all figured out. Where would I be without God? There's a humbleness that comes inside of us. It's a humble confidence to say, wow, if God is for me, who can be against me? So setbacks are meant to try to derail us, but in fact, they're going to encourage us. And the final thing about it is this, is that setbacks are only for seasons. There are places that we visit. There are places that we don't live in for too long. There are places that we don't stand for too long, but we allow God to do whatever he needs to do in those moments. Aren't we so glad that winter doesn't last forever, like physical winter? We're so glad that the sun has come because we need the sun. We're so glad that the winter is over. Please, Lord, send no more snow for this year. Send maybe even a bit less rain and bring us some good weather. You see, seasons only last for a short time. We visit them. We don't live there. We don't stay there. We know they're going to end. And it's exactly the same for us. So when we see seasons, recognize them. When we see setbacks, recognize them. And the only thing that we don't want is to settle. Do not settle, because to settle is to give up and to say, maybe God's not who he says he is. Maybe God can't do what he needs to do through me. Maybe I'm no good. And the Lord says, no, come on. I've got dreams. I've got adventure. Submit to me. Follow after me. Doesn't matter what you go through. I'm bringing you through. Can we stand together this morning? We're going to pray and finish. Going to finish out with a song. Can we close your eyes?